Joining us now on the line, we have Tim Flack. He's the owner of Abstergo Solutions. They have been investigating the Shiraz Mohammed disappearance story. Our listeners are aware of the story. We know that some weeks ago, an organization came to the fore, an organization that you never heard of before, Truth Collective SA. They said they had been able to ascertain his whereabouts and they were confident that he was going to be released shortly. But then nothing materialized from that. And now there's been concern once again that it seems like there's no news and the family, obviously, their concern has deepened. Now, Tim, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
How did you get involved in the investigation as to what happened to Shiraz Mohammed in Syria?
Basically, how I got involved is for quite a few years now, I've been working with journalists in South Africa, and I've developed a deep respect for South African journalists in particular, and that they're highly professional individuals to work with. I believe that they hold quite a high standard of their practice. And I've come to respect journalists in South Africa in general. And when I heard that a South African journalist had gone missing in Syria, I've also been following the happenings in Syria since the revolution had started. I believe it was around 2011 already, that I thought to myself, well, let me try and see if I can use my networks and contacts that I've built up over the years to see if we can maybe try and locate him or at least ascertain what has happened to him.
And what have you ascertained thus far?
So far, it's basically hit a massive dead ends. The information that I've been able to confirm so far and that I've received in the investigation is that he's disappeared, that he was taken by two gunmen. Small details added to that is that the gunman that took him didn't smoke and that there was no smell of cigarette smoke in the vehicle itself. They left his bag with his belongings because he was on his way to the Turkish border, I believe. And that he sent a text message saying that he believed that he was going to be detained. Someone had tipped him off. I can't find out. I haven't been able to ascertain who it was that had tipped him off to say that he was going to be detained. Further on after that, I was looking to see who are the role players in this, in that area. You've got the Syrian government, you've got the Turkish government, because the town of Dakush is very, very close to the Turkish border. You've got the Russian government, you've got groups that were previously known as Al-Nusra Front, who are now called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. They've now united under one banner. So these are your role players in the area, and obviously you've got your other groups like ISIS and Junta al-Aqsa. So it's through a process of elimination and logic, one could try and determine who possibly it was that took him. So the first step was to look at the Syrian government. Would Syrian government officials or spies be operating in the Dakush area that's controlled by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham? They wouldn't be. The Syrian government basically operates within a 50-kilometer radius around Damascus, and that's what they consider to be Syria. Everywhere else can kind of they're prone to bombing and missile strikes and stuff like that. So they would be mad to individually go into these areas to try and interact with people or try and get people out. The next would be, for example, Junta al-Aqsa. They're quite a small group that's affiliated to the Islamic State group, and then again, they also wouldn't go into the area because this area is very, very strongly controlled by HTS. So it left me with trying to find out answers of HTS as well and seeing if they maybe know. So I managed to actually track down and get into contact with quite a few of the fighters and some of the guys in sort of in a media role over there. They act on Twitter quite often. So I interacted with them and mentioned to them, look, there's this guy, he's a journalist, Shiraz Mohammed, he's disappeared, and it's suspected that you guys have taken him, or The other line of thinking was that possibly he may have joined. Now we know Shiraz was a good man, and he was a fantastic journalist. That wouldn't have someone just packed up and left and joined a group like that. So in questioning them, the first thing was that the guys that I'd spoken to said, yes, we know of this guy, we've heard his name before, we know that he's disappeared, but no, we haven't kidnapped him, and no, he definitely hasn't joined us. And one of the guys I actually spoke to is a South African guy, and he said he knows all the South African guys that are in the group, Hayatariel Sham. And he confirmed to me that he has no knowledge of Shiraz Mohammed either being captured or joining them.
So, as of now, you're saying that there's a dead end and that, there's no real concrete evidence to suggest who has him and what they want in return. So, in your opinion, what would be the way forward? How do you continue the search from here on?
I believe that, for example... The Gift of the Givers, for example, have been relentlessly trying to get more information as to who could have taken him. I've interrogated Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman on more than one occasion, and if you ever get the chance to speak to him and ask him about my questioning, when I questioned him, he'll tell you that I was quite ruthless in my questioning and quite repetitive too. And every single time I spoke to him, his answers were always consistent and always the same. And the Gift of the Givers have put in quite a lot of effort to try and build up a network to try and see if they can find him. The way forward, one of the things that I believe that needs to happen that hasn't happened thus far is Dr. Fikri Shaban has been very, very vocal on this matter. When he was on a few, I think he was on Salaam Media about a month ago. I think he was twice on Salaam Media where he spoke. He was very, he accused the Gift of the Givers of foul play often. And he said some strange things like, when Shiraz Mohammed is found and released, he's going to accuse me of kidnapping him. There's some, and the thing is with Dr. Fikri Shaban is that he was actually dismissed by Gift of the Givers. I'm told that it wasn't related to Shiraz Mohammed disappearance, but rather related to issues at the hospital and his conduct. But around the same time that Shiraz went over to Syria, let me clarify this part. In Shiraz going over to Syria, for about 3 years prior to this, he had been asking Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman to go through to Syria, and every time Dr. Suleiman had said to him, "No, we can't. We can't take you over because it's too dangerous for journalists." Dr. Suleiman has confirmed that he's never met Shiraz Mohammed in person either. So the person that managed to get Shiraz Mohammed over there was Dr. Fikri Shaban. Whether he paid for it or Shiraz paid for himself, I know when Shiraz went to document what happened in Nepal, he paid for his own ticket to go over, used his own money to go over there and document it. So I can't ascertain whether he paid for it or Dr. Shaban paid for it either. But Dr. Fikri Shaban was key in Shiraz going over through to Turkey and then coming over, going over the border into Syria. And Dr. Shaban's been given a lot of airtime on radio shows and stuff like that to give his side of things. And if you listen to a lot of the things that he says, he was in control of the funding for the hospital. He had access to a lot of funds. He was then dismissed, and he sounded quite disgruntled. And no one at this stage has questioned him further. I haven't been able to get any contact details for him to speak to him either, because I believe he resides in Turkey. He's been in South Africa a few times. He was here a couple of weeks ago. But I believe that he can maybe provide more answers if given the right time to question him.
Okay. So you're going to continue then, Tim Fly, looking into this issue? You're going to continue with your investigation?
Definitely, I am. For some reason, when this happened, it struck me quite hard. I don't know why, and I can't explain why. it was just an issue that kind of hit me hard, because I couldn't help but think about this person in another country, in a dangerous country, away from his family and alone. I believe it was his birthday a couple of days ago, and Ramadan is now coming up, and for him it must be an absolutely terrible experience. And for some reason it really bothers me, and I obviously won't stop until I try and find out more.
Okay, Tim, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. That was Tim Flack. He's the owner of Abstergo Solutions. He's been investigating the Shiraz Mohammed disappearance story. But as he says, they hit a dead end. He was giving some perspective as to the different options that they were looking at, or rather the different scenarios that they were looking at. But unfortunately, at the moment, no one seems to know. It brings us to the end of this morning's edition of Sabah al-Muslim. Until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.